Good morning. Everybody hear me okay? Excellent. Well, it's really good for me to be here this morning. I want to begin by saying thank you on behalf of my wife, myself, our family. Thank you guys for supporting us during our mission work in Mexico City. Man, those were some of the most challenging and yet rewarding years of our lives. If you remember, Danny and I left as a couple, newly married couple. We'd been married, I think, about a year. Man. Anyway, so we left as a couple, and we returned as a family of four. Now, both our boys were born there in Mexico City. Man, do we have some stories to tell you guys. So we're just really excited, glad to be back. This transition has been mixed so far. We have days where we're just filled with energy and optimism, and there are other days where we barely want to get out of bed. So we're having all of that. So we thank you for sticking with us through the thick and the thin. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for supporting us. We really appreciate y'all. This morning, actually, I want to take a moment here. Please pray for our congregation that meets there in downtown Mexico City. This picture was taken at our Christmas party last year. There are a lot of people missing there that couldn't make it. But man, are they having a rough go of this pandemic. Now, we know that just about all around the world, people are having a hard time. But this group of people mean a whole lot to us. And it hurts us to see them hurting. People are going through economic turmoil. They've lost loved ones, relatives. Thankfully, no members have lost their lives, but they have lost family members of theirs and relatives. So will you be praying for them next time you go to the Father and you pray that He will lift this plague, if you will, from our land? Will you especially remember this group? They mean a whole lot to us, and it comforts us to know that there are people praying that are outside of Mexico City. This morning, I want to try and answer this question. It is a relatively simple question, okay? It's simply stated, at least. But the answer to this question is a lot more complicated. It may even be deceptively complex. What does God want for me? And I'm not talking about, oh, what does He want for me to eat this afternoon, barbecue or PB&J sandwiches. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what is God's ultimate desire for me. Above all else, what does He want for me? And I'm sure you'll be able to come up with answers and say, well, He wants me to be faithful. He wants me to be full of service and love, and all those are correct answers. But this morning, I want to present to you and propose to you that God's ultimate desire for us, what He wants for us above all else, is that He wants perfection. And nothing less. He wants perfection. Now, before you write off the sermon as, okay, perfection, come on, right? I mean, that's impossible, Princeton. Are you serious? Do you not know anything about life? Do you not know how difficult a task this is? I do. And that's why I want to tackle it with y'all this morning. I want to explain what I mean by this. What does it mean that God wants perfection from us? Okay. See, this question is relevant. It's important because if we don't figure out what He wants from us, we just go through life meandering. I just wanted to use that word. Okay, now I'm glad that I used it. We just meander. We wander purposelessly, okay, and we waste our time. We waste our energies in places where we shouldn't even be. But when we understand what God wants for us, that knowledge and that understanding then guides us. It guides the steps that you take every day. It matters. It is incredibly relevant. And that's why we want to answer this question. Now, see, there's this one idea of perfection that is sinlessness, okay? Sin, of course, means this, right? It means to miss the mark. Okay, so God says, this is my standard, okay? If you want fellowship with me, you must meet the standard 100% of the time. Okay, you can't fail once. That is the standard. But that's not the perfection we're talking about this morning, okay? But rather, there is another meaning of perception, like James says in chapter 1 and verse 4. He says, I want you guys to be mature and complete and not lack anything. Okay? That's the perfection that I want to present to you guys this morning as what God wants for us above all in this Christian walk of ours, okay? Until he comes back to call us home, what he wants from us, his ultimate desire for us is that we be mature, is that we be complete, and is that we lack nothing. That is the perfection that God wants from us. Now, I hope that knowing that we're not talking about sinlessness this morning, but rather we're talking about growing and maturing in the Lord, I hope that helps you breathe a little lighter as a result. Right off the bat, I don't know that there would be anybody here that would say, oh, you know what? Sinlessness, it's pretty easy. I'm actually pretty close to that myself. I don't think anybody, any one of us would say that, but what about being complete? What about being mature? What about perfection in that sense? It's no easier, necessarily. It's hard. It's hard to become mature. It's hard to become complete, because what we're talking about is that we are trying to become like Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. Perfection then means to be like him in every way. If you'll go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, see what it says there. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. I'm reading from the ESV this morning. You may have a slightly different version, so there might be some variation in the words, but Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13 says it this way. Actually, I'm going to start a little early in verse 11. He says, Paul says, and he gave the church the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what we're talking about this morning. So this idea of perfection, we're talking about achieving and attaining and arriving at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, he's saying, I want you, God wants you to be like Christ in every way. Everything that Christ is, of course, except his divinity, right? But he's the perfect man that pleased God 100%. And so God says, I want you to be like him. I want you to strive for that. In this life of yours, as you live, I want you to strive to attain that goal. But to be like Jesus, if you've spent any time studying his life, you know that he was extraordinary, right? I mean, people like to say, oh, well, Jesus was a good teacher. Yes, he was. But that's not all he was, right? Oh, Jesus was a good moral man, and he had great ideas to share the world. Yes, all of that is true, but that's not all he was. I mean, this is the Jesus that when he came out of the waters of baptism, what happened? Heaven opens. The voice of God Almighty says, this is my son. In him I am well pleased. I mean, imagine hearing that, right? I mean, you apply for a job and you put references, right? And what do you hope that those people will do for you? That they will add weight to your application, right? Oh man, look, this guy is a reference for him and this other person is recommending him, right? I mean, imagine God speaking on your behalf and saying, hey, that's my son. I'm pleased with him. That's the Jesus we're talking about. So don't mishear me. This going about achieving perfection is no easy thing. But I believe that there are three things that help us on this journey of perfection, on this road of perfection. That's power, process, and purpose. And what I mean by that is we must understand what these three things are and what they do in our lives and how they help us in this journey of perfection if we're going to have any hope of achieving perfection. Because, see, sometimes we have these misguided ideas about how we go about attaining perfection. If you're anything like me, the world has filled your mind with crazy ideas, wacky ideas about what it means to be perfect and how you go about attaining that perfection. But this morning, we're going to see how God says that we can achieve this perfection. First, he defines it for us. He says, hey, I want you to be like my son. I want you to be mature. I want you to be complete. And then, well, we'll get to that. The first point here is power. The question of power helps us understand who it is that does this working in us. Because if you're like me, you've tried through your own efforts. You think, well, I'm a pretty decent person. I could do this. And so you try to live a good life, right? Have you tried that? Okay. And if you're like me also, you've come up short time and again. And you arrive, you come to God frustrated, and you say, what's up, God? I mean, what's going on? Like, don't you want me to be perfect? Right? Don't you want this for my life? So what's up? Like, I'm trying, but I just can't do it. But see, God has another idea in mind. He has another strategy in mind, if you will. This power that we need, this power that drives this perfection, this power that is our energy, the driver of our transformation, it does not originate with us. It originates with him. So he says, hey, listen, I want you to be perfect, but guess what? You can't do it by yourself. So guess what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to give you the power that you need. Isn't that amazing? I mean, he says, you've got a problem here, Princeton. And then he says, but guess what? I myself will provide the solution to you. That's amazing to me. I mean, who else does that? There is no one like our God. So when we talk about power, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm getting at. Because it is the Spirit of God that is the driver of this transformation in our lives. Please go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Back to Ephesians again, chapter 3 and verse 16. See what that says there. Ephesians 3. I'm going to start in 14 here. For this reason, Paul says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So lest you think that this process and this journey of perfection depends on you, you're not that good. The power that is required to raise your dead body and give you, infuse life into you, it takes a lot of power to do that. In fact, it takes so much power that it is the power that God gives us is the same power, Paul says, that raised Christ from the dead. I mean, get that. I mean, to raise a mass, a dead mass from the dead and bring him back to life and then ascend him into heaven and a whole host of other things, it is that same power that is at work within us on this journey of perfection. Isn't that incredible? And so when we capture that idea, when we understand that, it's God. There is a problem, but he provides a solution. He helps me. He drives this transformation within me. Great. I'm just going to go home and carry on about my life and do what I want because he's doing it all, right? I mean, isn't that what we're supposed to believe? I know people personally that think that way. That think, oh, I mean, God's got it. Yeah, he does. But there's more to it, right? Let's get to our second point. You see, process. We don't get anywhere without process. I may want to teleport myself to my house after this sermon so I can kind of take a deep breath and be, okay, it's over, okay? But no, I'm going to have to drive there. See, you wouldn't want somebody practicing medicine that failed med school, would you? Or somebody building our bridges that failed math, would you? In the same way, on this journey of perfection, on this road to perfection, there are no shortcuts. There is no teleportation. You just have to go through the process because the process, see, is sort of a refining fire. Man, I love talking about fire fascinates me, right? It's glow, it's power, the heat. It's this powerful thing, but it's also a painful thing. See, fire burns. See, one of the processes that I believe that the Spirit of God works in us to help us achieve this maturity, this completion, this perfection, is suffering. Suffering is a process that He works in us, and man, is it painful, right? You've probably seen in your own life, and we are definitely seeing it virtually everywhere right now, but people are suffering. It's like putting gold through the fire, right? But because that's the only way you're going to remove the impurities so you can get pure gold at the end. And Paul says that, hey, your faith is far more valuable than gold. So imagine the purifying process of that. And so as we walk through life, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, he says, listen, those of you that are in Christ, right, you walk according to the Spirit. Or at least we should seek to walk according to the Spirit. And that when we do that, we are working in concert with the power of God in our lives to then achieve this perfection. So there in Romans 8, he says that the mind set to the Spirit is not hostile towards God. Are you hostile towards God? And the mind set to the Spirit submits to the will of God. Do you submit to the will of God? I'll tell you this. There are some times I'm hostile towards God. I don't want to submit to His will. Okay? But it is in fact when I do that, that I work in harmony with the power of God in my life to achieve the desires that He has for me, His desire for me to be like His Son, His desire for me to be perfect, mature, complete. That is the only way. And there are no shortcuts, okay? There is no book you could go to Barnes & Noble today or Mardell's today and buy and read that will teleport you to the gates of perfection, that will teleport you to the pearly gates of heaven. There is no such thing. But God says, I got you again, okay? I give you my Spirit, not just for the power, but He's going to walk you through the process. I'm going to be with you every step of the way. I'm going to empower this process, and I'm going to facilitate and guide this process too. You just hang in there. You just be faithful. And I'm going to refine you. I'm going to purify you. Your gold mixed up with a whole bunch of dirt, I'm going to purify all that. It's going to be painful, yes. You may break apart, yes, but at least you'll break apart in my hands. I got you. So when we talk about process, that is what we're talking about, that, hey, there is, you want to be like Jesus, it's going to take some work. That's what it comes down to. It's going to take some work. But neither power nor process makes sense without purpose. Okay, it's the why. It's the thing that ties power and process together, right? Because if you have power without a purpose, okay, what's the point, right? There's no point. You just want to do cool stuff? Okay. And if you have process without purpose, it's meaningless. What process? You wouldn't even know where to begin, which process is to go through. So we have to have these three things working together. And it is when they do that, that we are then transformed little by little into the image that conforms to Christ. That's amazing. So the question of purpose then, let me take a slight detour here. We're not talking about purpose as to, well, does God want me to be a doctor? Does He want me to be an engineer? Now, if you know anything about the Indian culture, those are the only two options they give you in life, okay? That you have to pick, okay? And in that regard, I have failed terribly, okay? Well, what does He want me to do in this situation? What does He want me to do in that situation? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what is God's ultimate purpose for you. And it's somewhat related to the question we asked ourselves in the beginning. What does God want for me? See, He wants for us to be what? Perfect, mature, complete, to be like His Son. Do you know why? Because His Son glorified him. That's why. That is God's ultimate purpose for us, right? Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, says, hey, listen, let your good works, okay, because God created us for good works, and Jesus says, well, let those good works shine before everyone. Why? So that they may, the people around you, they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. That is the point. That is our ultimate purpose. And when we have that down, all our other sub-purposes will figure themselves out. I see so many books. I have so many books, okay? That supposedly try to help me figure out what's the purpose of my life. What were you made for? Okay. I mean, if we want to know what we were made for, shouldn't we ask the one who made us first? I mean, shouldn't that be the place where we start? And so the question of purpose tells us, hey, listen, the reason you are walking this earth is to glorify God. But there's one more element. You look around you, there are other people in this world. So the reason we walk this earth is to glorify God and to bless others. That is, if you will, the umbrella purpose, okay? And all our other purposes, well, can I glorify God and bless others as a doctor? Yes. Can I glorify God and bless others as an engineer? Yes. Can I glorify God and bless others standing at the pulpit at sunset? Yes. Can I glorify God and serve others vacuuming the floors in the patio? Yeah, the patio, no, you don't have carpet in the patio. What's that? Foyer, sorry, all these words. Okay, yes. Can I glorify God and serve others being a police officer? Yes. See, sometimes we narrow ourselves, we put on these blinders, and we think that, oh, well, Princeton and Danny, man, no, they were missionaries in Mexico City. Wow, what a way to serve the Lord, right? Okay, yeah, I mean, we enjoyed it. God blessed us and worked through us through all of that. What about you? You think that he's not working in your life? You think that just because you work at a dentist's office, that he is not working through you to glorify him and to bless others? I'm terribly mistaken. We think that only, oh, well, the preacher and the song leader and the missionary, right? These are the guys that God is using in mighty ways. Brother, sister, there are a lot of you that I don't know your names just yet, okay? That'll change soon, hopefully, okay? He's using you in this moment. He's using you where you are. Are you a teacher? You think he's not working through you to glorify him and to bless others? That is purpose. And that purpose, okay, in conjunction with the power of God and the processes that the Spirit guides us through, man. See, if the world and Satan wreak havoc in our lives, God brings peace. Genesis 1 says that there, in the beginning there was just this huge chaos, but then God, right? God entered the scene and says, hey, okay, the chaos ends now. And that's what he does in our lives. So if we want to be like Jesus, that's great. That's a great goal to have. But we must understand that the power in order to achieve that perfection, that maturity and that completion, that power does not originate in us. It does not emanate from us. It comes directly from God. He is the one that provides the power. We just say thank you, right? And then through that power, he takes us through these processes on these adventures where he refines us and trims us and shapes us and molds us. And then he tells us why it's all important so that we can be like this man. I don't know who that guy is, right? It's just, look, it was a cool picture, okay? But so that we can be like Jesus. Because see, Jesus in every way pleased the Father, but he can still relate to us. He knows what it's like to be human, and he can show us the way to the divine. And we want to be just like him. Because that voice that said, hey, this is my son, in him I'm well pleased, okay? Don't you want to hear, hey, well done, good and faithful servant? Isn't that what we're going for? Yeah, absolutely. And God says, I got your back. All that you need, I will provide. I'll provide the power, I'll take you through the process, and I'll give you a purpose that will guide you through every step of life. brothers, sisters, I hope this encourages your hearts. Because it's easy to fall into despair thinking, I'm never going to attain perfection. Are you kidding me? Do you not know? I do. I understand. But God says, I've got your back. I don't know where you are in this journey. I don't know where you are, where you've been. I know you're here this morning. And for those of you guys that are tuned in online, okay, I don't know exactly where you are in your journey, but there are people here, there are ministers, there are shepherds here that would love to walk alongside you and help you, okay? Because none of us has it all figured out, right? God knows I don't. So we're going to take, in a minute here, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. But if you have a need that this church, that this body can help you meet, maybe it's beginning in that process, in that journey of perfection. Maybe you've been in it for a while, or maybe you've even fallen off the horse, veered off the course. Didn't plan to rhyme, but it did. That's great. But wherever you are, allow this church, allow this body to minister to you, okay? So please come forward as we stand, as we sing.